you know, just general merchandise store going in. I mean, the only one of that list there under 18 that I think is real questionable is 5921, which is liquor stores. I honestly think number 20, theaters, most zoning rules that I have seen require special use permits from theaters for a couple reasons. One is you probably want to restrict the what's being shown in the theater. Particularly in the past when, you know, X-rated stuff was shown in theaters. You want to restrict the time.
I don't think there's enough property to put a theater in down here to have adequate parking.
I agree, but I think if we have it, we ought to.
Yeah.
We'll do that to take it out.
I mean, you have to buy a whole block of property just to put one in there.
Well, you could have a little mini theater here. Yes.
Would the theater restriction or anything have anything to do with the idea that they were going to show movies and such at the new oceanfront park?
No, it actually says theaters when housed in a permanent structure. Yeah. So they're talking about an actual theater in the structure, theater building, not an outdoor movie.
And the one we had up the street didn't make it, so you know what I mean. It's...
So you can still show your X-rated movies without...
Before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And don't serve liquor. And make sure you don't park in the handicapped parking space.
No wine?
No wine past 10.
What about number one, the accessory uses? Clearly indicate incidental.
That's a pretty broad statement.
Isn't it? Like, what could it... I mean, I'm trying to think what that could possibly mean.
I hope Josie is editing.
Pretty much opens the door for anything.
Yeah, accessory use is clearly incidental to a permanent...
I'll take that to mean like swimming pools and things of that nature.
Oh, my. Why would you say that of that nature? I was thinking more of, again, a gas station or something with more.
A swimming pool, gas station with a storage building. I mean.
Well, what if we took, like, we took out service, we took out used car lots and auto repair like that. Mm-hmm. But we still have service stations.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the incidental use to a service station be a car lot, sell used cars, we fix and we sell them, or we service and we sell them?
I guess that could be arguable, yes.
So don't you think we should?
Why don't we clearly define them?
What does
or
it
just
mean?
Put a special use on it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, if you look under the purpose now, it says its purpose is to create and maintain a town center as an attractive gathering place for both residents and visitors while providing a small-scale commercial setting. Helps existing business expand or prosper. So that's like a statement that allows you to do those kinds of things the way I read it.
Well, I think they should be allowed to have accessory uses for their property.
Can I get them?
But maybe we should just have some control over them. What's the difference? Just make a special use?
Probably. Every time somebody comes to me from B1, oh, let's put in a storage building, it's kind of got their beans in council now.
I'll be quite honest, there's many zoning rules that require approval for any commercial thing that goes in. Just to look at it. I mean, most of the time they're just approved and that sort of thing, but just in case there's some little thing.
What?
I mean, we could put, you know, every single thing requires approval. Or do we want to just kind of leave it open where, as long as they come in and put a hotel or motel, if we don't have an S by it, you know, it doesn't have to be approved by the council or the planning commission.
Well, I mean, would the recycle dumpster that they put in for the restaurants?
I wouldn't bother with that. The Big Daddy's put in storage building over there in Mike Robertson's lot when they're building that place. I mean, they would have had to get a special use permit for that.
When they were what?
When Big Daddy's adding on to their patio and all, they put a storage building over the side to store construction material in while they were working on it. And the chairs and tables, they pre-ordered a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so if that was to happen again in the future, every time somebody would want to put in some sort of storage building, I don't care what it is, I'd find that as an accessory use. That's just something That would be clearly incidental to what they're doing.
Well, wasn't it temporary?
It's supposed to be temporary, yes.
Well, don't we allow, like, temporary storage for construction?
I don't think we've got anything on it as far as that's concerned.
They don't allow construction trailers on jobs and stuff like that?
Construction trailers are, but trailers for offices are not.
Okay.
Room sitting there every night.
You know, you go to a big job site and they've got one of those trailers pulled in there for the office and playroom, you know? That's not allowed in Cherry Beach.
You're just going to have to rent one of my rooms.
Okay. Let me kind of just ask a general question. When I was looking at the permitted uses for a B1, the permitted uses for a B2, and then the permitted uses for a B3, I noticed, for example, if you look at permitted uses for a B1, under item number 4, where they have retail businesses that are allowed, and let's just take one, for example, 5331. 5331 is a variety store. That's allowed in B2, but I don't see it in B1. And I was noticing that there's several like that which are allowed in B2 which are not allowed in B1. And the same thing for B3, that there's things in B3 that are not allowed in B1. So I think that if B1 is kind of our general business, anything that's allowed in B2, with the exception of multifamily dwellings, should probably be allowed in B1. And the same thing with B3 should be allowed in B1, too.
Well, 5331 is general merchandise stores.
Right. And then in B2, for example, 5399... is allowed, but I don't see that on the list for B1. And 5399 is miscellaneous general merchandise stores. So I think there's just a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done here to make it consistent.
Sounds like a homework project.
It does.
Does anybody object to things that are allowed in B2 also being allowed in B1?
There was probably a reason that we done that when we started this SIC codes, but it's been a long time ago. And
So we can blame you?
Well, you probably blame Charlie. I know. He was.
Oh, okay.
He was
we'll
the one that led the charge on the.
Where is he? I'll get him.
Standard codes, but.
And then in B3, we're allowing colleges, business colleges, trade school, dancing schools, but I don't think that's allowed in B1 or B2.
Does sound like a project.
Yeah, I mean, business is providing the service of rental, which will not create a public nuisance. I mean,
conference centers are allowed in B3, but not in B1 or B2.
So in B1, you actually couldn't open up a little bicycle rental place. You
know? Right. Yeah. The way it's written right now, so I think that I think we've got a couple things that, and we probably can't deal with it tonight. We may want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
One is to identify really which SIC codes we want to put a special use permit requirement next to, which ones we may want to eliminate, and then to what extent should we make sure that B1 is consistent with B2 and B3.
Right.
It seems as you get from go from B1 to B2 to B3, it should get more restrictive but not exclude things that B1 shouldn't exclude things that are actually in B2 and B3, mm-hmm. with the exception of maybe residential housing.
Right.
And even then, we may not want to do that if we're going to go to form-based planning and think about trying to have residential housing above the retail, too.
Well, we have that.
Not in B1, we don't.
Yes, we do. A dwelling when constructed in conjunction with permitted use.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
We probably need to take into consideration the purpose of each district, too, before we start changing that.
Yes.
Right.
You know, just read the purpose of each district.
Yeah, why you brought that up.
So anyway, I would suggest that we table this with kind of the charge of the commission to look at kind of three things. One is to identify SIC codes that they may want to require a special use permit component. Mm-hmm. to look at the consistency of the uses between the B1, B2, and B3 districts, and maybe even look at the residentials, because there might be some stuff that's allowed there that's not allowed in B1. And then finally, what I mentioned last time is simply a paragraph that we may want to include, and this is in our minutes from last meeting, and that is found it here. Here it is. And this has to do with the question as to whether you could have multiple uses on a single site. And that was not quite clear in the code right now. So I recommended that the first paragraph, which is on page 2 of our minutes, also be included, and that to read, more than one permitted use can be located on a particular site or within a particular building. All uses on a particular site or within a particular building must be permitted. If a use is not on the permitted use table, then it is prohibited. In addition, the permitted use table also identifies specific uses within a particular SIC code that may be prohibited. If a proposed use cannot be classified into a normal SIC code, the senior zoning administrator, parenthesis John, should determine that a use is not listed and is not similar to a use in the permitted use table, then said use is prohibited. A business in operation may not add another use to their existing operation that is not permitted. Okay. This is language, obviously, I pulled from an existing ordinance that looked pretty good. So it seems that that would clear up a lot of the issues that I think our zoning table is missing right now. So those are the three things I think that we may want to look at next meeting. Okay, no. The first was identifying special use permits. The second was consistency between the SIC codes, between the B1, B2, and B3 districts. And then the third was the paragraph that I just read, which is identified word for word in the minutes.
Everybody have a copy of that? The current copies?
I have John's. Hopefully I can get one before the
you
next meeting.
Have one before this.
Okay.
Okay, it's pages 1235 through...
1232.
Oh.
Which is B1.
I'm sorry, 1232. All the way through to 1284. Yeah.
1284, yeah. In fact, again, here's some uses for the RB1 district that language is different than what the B1 and B2 uses are.
Yeah, I can't believe you don't have one.
I got John's.
But Craig, also look at the difference between the B1 and the B2. And its purpose is the B1 and B2 is for commercial and all the tourist environment. The B2 and B3 is for surrounding residential neighborhoods.
Right.
So it's not designed for a commercial setting.
Right.
Right. But
so keep that in mind on the
right. I mean clearly, but it seems to me that if we're allowing variety stores and general merchandise stores in the B2, that should be allowed in the B1.
I'm not saying
we're not saying that we're going to add more to the B2, B3.
Right,
before.
Right.
We're going to add whatever is
missing from B1.
To the B1 that should be Because the B1 should have rental, should have everything.
B1 should have everything and then it should graduate down?
That's...
Okay.
All right, is there a motion to table this till our next meeting?
I'll make a motion to table this till our next meeting.
Is there a second? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, next item is the Zoning Overlay District and Form-Based Planning. I guess I have it on good authority that the council did approve the planning and zoning to act as the committee for this. Okay, good.
Did you get something writing on that?
No, I think they tabled it.
Did I miss that?
All right, so based upon that, agenda item number 2B is what's our game plan?
Oh, you don't have one? I thought you had one.
Game plan. Well, I probably would suggest, I mean, since we've been charged with using the B1 study as the model, I mean, that clearly is a form-based proposal. In fact, they even make that recommendation in the B1 study, and they clearly have architectural designs about what they think. Maybe we should look at that more seriously. Everybody study the B1 study, look at the architectural renderings, and start thinking about how would we start writing that into an ordinance, so if somebody wants to come in and build something, that in our ordinance and our descriptions, that it's built somewhat so it ends up looking like what is in the B1 study.
Okay.
Yes?
Down below there, we're talking about the oceanfront park. How is that going to key into the other part of the Sawyer study?
We're not allowed to jump ahead in our agenda.
I don't know if I've, after my move, if I've still got mine or not.
Well, I'm going to find me a copy, so if anybody else needs one.
I have. Yeah, they were sent. It was sent to everybody's email, so I've got an electronic version.
I might need another copy.
I know somebody scanned it or whatever, so it is in the electronic version.
Okay.
Wow, I have the old one, too.
The Sawyer study?
Well, I've got the V1, and I also got the one they did from the...
So yeah, we should all get the Sawyer study. We should look at what they're recommending, and then think about how to translate that into some sort of an ordinance.
I know we had at one time. I think Craig, you brought in a bunch of literature on form-based zoning.
Yes, and I probably still have that.
Maybe like an abbreviated version.
Sure.
Not a lot, so
sure. I'll see if I can dig that stuff up.
Brush up on what exactly it is and.
Some models and how it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be glad to do that.
And
Barry, I think you probably have some stuff. You actually went to that seminar on form-based planning, didn't you? It was about 4 months ago, 5 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Is there some literature that you got from that?
Probably, but putting my hands on it might be a little difficult.
Hey, you even forgot he went. It was such a great seminar.
It didn't come out of my phone.
I'm sorry. It just came out.
Okay. So anyway, the
part four.
Sounds like forming a game plan is that we table this until next month, where we're all going to come in with the Sawyer study. I'll come in with some more material on form-based planning. Barry will look intensely for his material. I believe we got an email with some references to the conference that you went to, too. So.
Okay.
And we've already talked about the need for hiring a consultant. I think there's a kind of a general agreement that if there's a consultant to be hired, it would be a little bit later than early right now.
It is in my closet somewhere.
Okay. Just let it out of the closet, Barry.
For about $15,000
Could you define later? Do you mean like this spring or next year?
One of the things that we may want to talk about next month is once we kind of get it together is to set up a timetable, because inevitably this will involve public hearing. We're going to have to talk with the local business community. Because putting together a form-based planning really requires a lot of input. So we would put together probably a timeline next meeting once we actually have some, look at the Sawyer study in more detail. At that point, then we could probably think about within the timeline when that need would arise for hiring a consultant.
It would be next year, if anything.
No, I don't think it would be. Well, maybe this fiscal year.
And it's what, July? June, July?
Yeah. I mean, we may.
It's feasible.
It is feasible.
I mean, we kind of.
Depends on if that's council acts.
We kind of agreed that we do 30 minutes a meeting instead of having another committee. We thought if we took it on, we'd set aside 30 minutes of meeting for presentations and working on form-based.
Okay, when you do the timeline, could you also come up with an estimated figure?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay.
Million dollars.
All right. Is there a motion to table the zoning overlay district and form-based planning?
I'll make that motion.
No, second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Agenda item number three, modified garage yard sale permit application status. And I think John disappeared. That was his cue.
He's getting something for you for number four.
Okay.
He should have something for number three also.
He probably does.
Do we want to jump to five, Oceanfront Park?
Yes, we can do it.
Okay.
Well, I think so John was getting us something for that too.
He's getting us something for
something
five.
For that, okay.
I thought that was four.
No, number four is science.
Well, okay, let's jump to number four.
Okay.
That, again, just to remind the commission, what we did is
science.
Based...
Who's the sign for?
The sign number four.
We've got
a what?
I got November 4th, brother. Jimmy Yellen.
Oh. That's interesting.
That's what I have.
That's interesting.
Hey, this is November 3rd, right?
Yeah, no, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same.
When'd you pick that up?
What's this?
Monday.
There's a different.
Oh, are they?
Different agenda, okay.
Oh. Well, I didn't approve your agenda.
No, it's just that.
Mine.
Oh, it's a
revised
one. A revised one, okay.
I need a new one.
Ha!
There you go, okay.
Sign ordinance, yeah.
All right, sign ordinance, based upon the feedback and the concern over amortization, and again, we had a long, after the hand-waving and the yelling and everything like that, we had a good discussion outside. It seemed to be the major concern of everybody was, well, you know, how does it affect me? They don't want to take down their sign, bottom line. So anyway, what we did is we recommended that it's really important that the sign ordinance be implemented to plug some pretty gaping holes right now and that we should do it. And so we were recommending moving the amortization to 12 years with a 3-year renewal for the amortization process if it's the individual property owner. So it would actually be a 15-year amortization, which after studying about 100 different sign ordinances from coastal communities, that would be about the longest that any community would have. So anyway, that was presented to the council. I was hoping to be there, but I got stuck at a meeting at the university, and I couldn't do it, but...
I filled in for you.
Did you? Okay.
Thanks.
Don't see too many bruises.
They were ready to throw it in the toilet.
I wasn't there.
Why? I mean, what's...
It almost didn't go back to y'all.
They were just throwing their hands up, saying, why don't we just keep what we have? And I was like, do you know what's in what you have? No. They haven't even, they don't even really know what's in
there. It was
all they keep hearing is amortization and having to change someone's sign. And
There's six signs that are affected. They would give them 15 years to change those signs.
There was a lot of discussion about
grandfathering.
Well, there wasn't a lot of discussion. Not a lot. I asked a question of Alan, and that is whether or not you guys considered, and there was some question about whether it's six or seven. But whether or not you considered grandfathering those six or seven until they need to be replaced or were destroyed or, you know, for whatever reason, then they would have to meet regular code, was that...
Grandfathering, when you read all the literature on planning, grandfathering is considered one of the worst things to do. And there's several reasons. It's actually anti-business. And the reason for that is if you have a grandfathered sign, let's say, or a grandfathered building or grandfathered anything, and you have another, let's say, a new restriction, let's say you grandfather a 50-foot sign, okay, and then you change it to a 10-foot sign for everybody else, that's going to discourage new business from moving in the area because then they're only allowed to have a 10-foot sign right next door that you have a 50-foot sign. So it's been grandfathering actually has a very negative business perspective. There's actually a study on grandfathered signs because they started grandfathering signs in the 1940s when you started having sign ordinances. No. And they find out that some grandfathered signs some grandfathered signs have lasted 55 years and 60 years right now. So.
To answer your question, no.
Okay.
We never considered it. So that was a good answer. Okay. But the truth is,
well, no, we did consider.
No, it was on. No,
it was on the table.
It was discussed. But I've also always said that it's if you're expecting the planning and zoning to say to recommend the council grandfathering, that's not our job. We're not supposed to recommend something that's not a good zoning and planning process.
Okay, and it sounds like it wouldn't be for Wilmington. I don't see a lot of new businesses coming in next door to Jack Mackles or, you know, the Marlin, you know, and you're not talking about 50 foot, you're talking about one that's 1 to 2 feet difference, you know. I mean, what you're talking about and what we have are two different things, and that's why.
Well, you know, a 15-year amortization is an extraordinarily long amortization. Most amortizations, the law, the case law in North Carolina is 5 years. Okay, that and there's case law that says that anything over 5 years is considered reasonable in the state of North Carolina. Every other community, beach community, up and down the coast in North Carolina, outside North Carolina, typically has anywhere between 5 and 7 year amortization as a reasonable. We're now recommending 15 years. The idea of amortization is that you've gotten your economic life out of that particular sign. The signs that we're talking about clearly, you know, with the, I can't think of one that has not been fully depreciated. They've gotten the economic life out of it. I mean, grandfathering is just a really bad idea from the planning.
15 years of Mother Nature will probably take care of those signs.
Okay, but one of the problems is that I don't care what we do. We can amortize it. We can amortize it for 25 years. I think someone's still going to have an issue with it. So my thought was, we got 15 years amortization. We have that as an option on the table. Can we send council option 2, which would be if you want to grandfather those 6 signs, change, make it more restrictive on the replacement. Instead of doing market value, say if those signs are grandfathered, when they are 50%, if they are damaged by 50% or more, they have to be replaced as conforming.
You know, I'm at a point right now where, I mean, 15 years, I'll probably be dead. So, you know, I don't care if it's grandfathered or whatever.
Because the way it's written is, it's if it's damaged by 50%, by more than, what is it, more than 50% of the value
right.
of the sign?
That's why I said destroyed, not just damaged.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't state that. It doesn't state that if it's more than 50% destroyed.
Well, if it's
destroyed,
more than
50% of the value.
Destroyed more than 50%.
It'll never be destroyed more than 50% of the value of that old sign.
Well, I mean, I think we're going to have to get the attorney involved on this one because... I mean, as a woman states right now, that if it's something grandfathered and it's destroyed by a natural disaster, they can put it back exactly.
Yes, they can. That's the way it's written right now.
But now we do
have. I think that's the general intent of grandfathering something.
Well, but we do have. Okay, I know, and I kind of did a little bit of homework on this now. We'll see where I was. What's page the signs on, so I don't have to keep looking.
It's a good one.
You know. I've
never seen a council bend over back. I've never seen
anything like this.
You know, and if I can say
1250 something, 12
prohibited signs.
Prohibited signs is 57, so it starts at 1255 in it. Yeah,
1254.1 is signs definitions.
Yeah.
Damage and destruction. 1254.
There's a section that talks about a non-conforming sign.
That's a non-conforming situation.
Non-conforming signs. All signs or advertising structures located in districts where they would not be permitted as a new used gym, blah, blah, blah. They're declared to be non-conforming uses. Why can't we just take non-conforming signs and take out where it says they don't become non-conforming uses, which pushes it back to the non-conforming use ordinance? And we have our own...
What I would suggest is if the council is inclined to grandfather these things.
No, that was simply okay. The question I asked.
Okay, then, but if the council is inclined to grandfather them, then they should direct us to come up with language that could deal with the sort of issues that we're talking about. Okay, if the council is inclined not to grandfather it and make the amortization longer than, you know, then go ahead and do it. But, you know, I think somewhere along the line, something's got to be done. We're either going to grandfather these things in or we're going to have an amortization process. I certainly wouldn't table it. I would just do one or the other.
I agree with you. Do you mind reading it the way, I don't have it in front of me. Do you mind reading it the way you presented it?
Well, we don't have grandfather. Right now we have a definition of a non-conforming sign.
Right, the way you presented it for the amortization.
What does anybody have? We didn't get a copy of it this month.
No, it's in the...
I'm sure I've got it, Ryan.
Well, whatever the last one was.
The last one we were...
There we go. This was August meeting, right?
Yeah, it's...
Non-conforming signs. Here, I'll let you have it.
Put him on the spot again. Oh. Go ahead.
He
can't
see it.
Go on, Alan.
I want to see if this is the right one, though.
Well, that was the August meeting right there.
Is this our minutes?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for. I just read it here.
That was in our August meeting. I didn't have one earlier in that one.
Yeah, that's just the non-conforming. That doesn't say the amortization.
Let's see here. September, October. See anything from non-conforming on that one?
Yeah, okay. Here's the motion that we made. It's in our minutes on page 5. And we're talking about, you know, discussion that amortizing for 15 years would be better than grandfathering, et cetera. So we did talk about grandfathering.
Okay.
It says, member Shuda made the motion from feedback from the public hearing concerning the sign ordinance that is recommended to the town council that there be a revision to the code from the existing 7-year amortization with a 3-year extension to a 12-year amortization with a 3-year extension equaling a total of 15 years. So what that means is that if it's the same property owner, that's what the 3-year extension refers to, that if it would be a 12-year amortization. But if the same property owner has it for this period of time, they can apply for an additional 3 years, which would give them a 15-year amortization.
Okay, so you have additional wording to explain, but if you change property owners or...
I got it right here.
Go ahead.
All off-site advertising signs together with all other signs 7 years after notification. However, an owner or lessee having been authorized by the owner to act as agent may be granted one time only an extension for non-conforming signs to exist beyond the statutory amortization period so long as it does not exceed 3 years. And further provided that all the following conditions are met. The lease was entered into prior to the effective date of the ordinance. The lease is duly executed. No,
12.3.
And what's the part about the damage?
What does it say about
the damage? That's not in the conforming. That would be in a different part of the ordinance.
And I don't think that the 12-year has actually been presented at the council.
Yeah. Well, that's what was on the agenda last month.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was 15 years.
That
was. And that's when they were ready to dump it.
They didn't like the 15 years?
They just got frustrated.
Maintenance and replacement right here is in the same. Maintenance and replacement right there. If damaged by less than 50%.
Okay.
It basically says if it's damaged to an extent more than 50% of the value as determined by the building inspector, it can't be.
Okay, then. This brings up another question I have for you guys. Do you have some guidelines for him to determine what 50% of the damage is?
we defined total value. It was originally total value, and we replaced that with total replacement value of the sign. So they would go out and they would get a quote to replace the sign. So it would be 50% of the replacement value of the sign. So we've got it about as clear as you can get.
They would have to get a quote, and they'd have to give me two separate quotes, one for a brand new sign just like they've got, or one to fix what they've already got.
Aren't you gonna keep my previous sign?
That's a total replacement.
Have all kinds of problems with that.
Aren't you gonna keep my
previous sign?
Well, but I mean, you feel comfortable.
This was
using
August 3rd.
That to notice
was August 3rd. No, this was probably July minutes. Yeah, July.
But I mean, minutes. We're only talking about six signs.
Seven.
We're talking about seven signs.
Yeah.
Well, and like you know, a list of 50 that people are gonna be saying, "Oh, I got this estimate. It's seven."
And if I can just suggest, I mean, here we're being asked to work on a form-based planning, okay? A large part of a form-based planning in terms of what the community looks like has to do with signs. And, you know, I think one of the issues that we're concerned about is that if here we're going to grandfather signs in and kind of ignore what we're trying to create as an image, then why go through the whole process of doing all this other stuff? Because we might be grandfathering in everything else that we're doing.
Yeah, we're going to have the same problem.
We have the same problem.
You do it once, you're going to have to allow the same thing absolutely. For everybody else. And in every other instance.
Well, we have non-conforming. We have non-conforming uses. We don't have anything that actually says grandfather. Now, in our sign ordinance...
But we don't create non-conforming uses.
We made a provision in our new sign ordinance that I tried to explain to them, like Ronnie Cornell was upset about his sign. Because it's non-conforming. Well, his sign has been in multiple movies. It could be considered historical. There's a provision in there for them to go to the Federal Point Preservation Society and state their case and have them determine that, yes, you have some historical value to your sign, that it could be grandfathered in. And his sign could stay there forever.
Right, as a historical sign. So there is that...
That provision
in there.
Is in there.
That provision is in there. You could maybe argue that the Kiri Beach Pier... sign is a historical sign too.
Big Daddy's sign
could be a historical sign. So you know there is a provision that historical signs are exempt from the amortization process.
I don't think the Federal Point Preservation Society is going to be anything like the Historical Society downtown. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, hey, show me a few pictures of family pictures with the sign in the background, and it's got some historic value to it. Right.
But Jack Mackerel's is probably not a historical sign.
No, I don't think that's historical.
Let me stretch it. So, I mean, I think, you know, we did address all of their concerns the first time they came. They had a lot of concerns. And it was also confusing because they were given the wrong sign on it. It wasn't the updated one. So they all came to a public meeting screaming. And
poorly informed.
And they're all reading from the wrong sign on it.
Everything you were complaining about was changed and corrected.
Well, again, most of what you heard the complaint about during that meeting is already part of the ordinance. It was not what we were proposing. Okay, when they were complaining about wanting to put up neon signs or, you know, some other type of things.
LED.
Yeah, LED digital signs, and there are several other ones. I mean, they kept going on about a lot of things, and they were reading. That's already part of the ordinance. That's not even what we were presenting. Okay, we're presenting something very, very straightforward: height, size, and amortization. That's the only part of the signed ordinances that is still outstanding.
The rest of it is much earlier.
A year ago.
And nothing can drive me more crazy than when they say, and our council starts to say, what is wrong with the existing sign? I don't see anything wrong with the signs that we have. And they ask me to specifically point out which signs I don't like. And it's not that. And I've told the business owners that. It's not the signs that we have. It's the future. It's creating a sign ordinance that works for the town. What we have doesn't work, and it's a disaster, so we're trying to make everybody happy and come up with a uniform sign ordinance. So it's for future development, really.
And doing exactly what council is telling us to do.
Which is to implement the B1 study.
We're following the B1 study, which was done, that was paid for, that was done, 10 years ago?
Well, thank you. Learning curve.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that is agenda item number 4. So I think what we should do is request to have it put back on the town council's agenda.
Thank you.
And I will try to show up this one and explain in... I'll try not to wave arms and stuff like that.
Oh, come on.
But, I mean, you're right. I mean, you're right, though. If council wants us to...
Grandfather, let us know, and we'll figure out some language for them.
We work at their mercy, and we have to. And then maybe we change it on the next council and bring it back up. I don't know. But if this council wants us to grandfather it, and we have to, then we have to.
Yeah.
I
mean, but we'll do one or the other. Don't table. Do one or the other.
But the council has options to change it when they get it. They don't have to go by what we say, you know. They, council can change it when they get it. So.
They can make suggested changes. Right. Back.
Please don't put it in the crapper.
Yeah.
don't put that on.
This should be resolved before we get into other trouble.
Okay. All right. Jumping back to three, which is, which is the modified garage yard sale permit application status. John,
I have a question about that. When I read the minutes, it looks like all the minutes said was that we were going to just change the wording on the application. When in fact, I thought y'all voted on sending some language to council about that.
We did. I thought we did too.
Well, then we just never got in the agenda or what?
We shouldn't approve the minutes then.
Well, I remember that I was supposed to say something.
Wrong agenda.
I didn't approve the minutes.
Oh,
I approved the agenda.
Oh, that's right.
And I had the wrong agenda. See, it was agreed that instead of revising the language in the code, the wording on the application for permit should be revised to include wording that gives owner or that owner gives permission.
But then a motion was made by Craig.
Right, but I don't know if I remember telling y'all I didn't like it, and then y'all kind of talked me into it. Because what we were going to do is just change the wording saying somebody can have a yard sale on another person's property as long as the other person came and got the permit for it. And we were going to send that to council, and it didn't require a public hearing because it's not a Chapter 19 ordinance.
Well, I think, if I remember right, that the language in the ordinance is broad. It's not clear.
It just says...
Well, it says it shouldn't be on a lot that's unowned, and there's no such thing as an unowned lot.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That was the problem.
So I think our recommendation is rather than changing the ordinance, which would require a public hearing, because it's broad enough, is simply to change the language on the application to make it clear that you need to have the owner's permission.
Right. If you want to leave it that way, that's why we can leave it.
And that's what
you remember?
That's the way I remember y'all saying the last time.
So all you need is the...
Well, I've already done that. I did that for the last meeting.
You just need the permission and it's signed by the owner.
I did that for the last meeting. That's
and that covers it.
Yeah. And so I think that was our recommendation. Just change the language on the application, right. Not change the ordinance.
I could have sworn that we said the language of council.
Okay.
So we didn't blow it.
I mean, I'm just dreaming right now.
Now, I was thinking we were going to change the form, you know.
I told you that I'd already changed the form, yes.
Mm-hmm. John changed the form
right
as soon as he found out what was going on.
Right, okay. All right.
John's efficiency is unbelievable.
Agenda item number 5. See, we've already exceeded our maximum of one hour, which I tried to... Agenda item number 5, Oceanfront Park. I assume this is an update on Oceanfront Park?
Let's see, did we have some on Oceanfront Park back here?
We've got somebody hanging.
Page 5.
Yeah, what is
somebody in the middle being hung.
Yes, in effigy.
It doesn't look like that.
I know who that is, but okay. Hey, John.
looks short and pudgy to me with glasses.
There was a stocky guy right behind me, too, you know.
Does that look like the mayor or not?
All right, I guess according to our minutes last time, that we had a little bit of a discussion about the concern, and I think that all our recommendation was is that the concerns be expressed to the council. So I think they were through our council representative here, that the Planning Commission was concerned about the design, and I think this is probably more of an update for our agenda item here. Yes?
I would like to say that all the council was at the meeting on Monday at one time or another. So I think...
So have that guy.
I was teaching a class. I have a night class on Monday night.
We'll let Alan.
That should be off the record. As far as a quick update, from what I understand now is they're going back and the architect listens to all the concerns of the citizens and everybody, and they're going back to lower the height of the building, make it more nautical looking, do whatever they have to make everybody happy.
Like the original design or something? Or?
Well, we're hoping it goes back to the original footprint. Not this big one, but we'll see. But it's...
Then that's something we've been working on for 2 years now?
Yeah.
Three.
Well,
three? Has it been 3 years?
There's a lot more to that, but we don't need to.
What if we came up with our form-based planning? We said, boy, it'd be nice if all these buildings had a front facade that was, cedar siding with this and this.
Well,
and this doesn't have that.
Well, I mentioned it to the at the meeting for the architect, and that was one thing that I kind of gave him a brief synopsis of what form-based zoning is and what we're working on, and that this building we should take. Just because we don't have it in place, the town should take the lead and, create a building that we want our town to look like.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of, I did put that together somehow.
So this is, I'm not sure, we, the commission here, have to do this, but it sure would be nice if this sort of led the way to what we see the form-based planning be, if we could pull this off in the next 2-3 months, whatever it takes for them to build this. Is there any facade, anything that we're worried about, pitch on roof, or...
there was one thing, the building was 28 feet tall, and the cupola was almost 35 feet tall, and the walls were 18 feet tall, and we just, nobody ever really wanted such a large-scale building to dwarf everything down there.
So it's supposed to be a park, not a...
Right, so what we're hoping is that they lower everything to a more low-country look and a coastal look. Maybe put a widow's walk on it like it had originally, and it's, so they're working on that. It's supposed to be...
Okay.
I think if we can get it right, I think it'll be...
Can I propose this? I don't know if it has to be in a motion or anything, but when we come back, we talk about form-based planning next week, that if we see something in the Sawyer proposal that might click and say, hey, this might be something we want to... foresee on this building or something?
It's
too late?
You need to give it to us before the next council meeting.
Yeah. I think that looks nice, personally. That's a nice looking little design there.
The Oceanfront Park has been meeting for years.
Yeah, I know.
And we've been battling for years, and Alan's on it, I'm on it, Emily's on it.
Why? I have to admit, question that's always bothered me, why are we even having a building? I think of a park, the cost and things like that. I keep thinking of what Southport has done with their park, their front park. I mean, it's been a real attraction to the downtown community without any building. I mean, you just got some swings, you got some walkways, the kids are playing there.
The number one thing on the list, we took surveys, they did the surveys at the street fest, and we spent a lot of time getting everybody's input, and the majority of the input was... the residents wanted a place to have a Christmas show, which sounds silly that we build a big building like this for a Christmas show. But piggybacking on that, we can now have concerts, we can have maybe share with the chamber and the free concerts, we can have entertainment on the weekends, we can have vendors.
We can have some of our events happening there, storage there, classes there.
You'll probably bring the Beach Music Festival here versus Carolina Beach having
it. It's supposed to be basically
a
simple open pavilion.
That's what how it started, an open pavilion, which I that sounds fine, but it's no longer open. An open
theater, concert area, wedding venue.
It was supposed to be pavilion / stage.
Okay.
Not real complicated, but.
Okay, any further updates? Okay, agenda item number 6, new business. Is there any new business? Nope, hearing none. Agenda item number 7, member items. Any member items?
I take back my compliment about John.
I think we should have adjourned first. Agenda item number 8, adjournment. Anybody make a motion?
Motion.
Okay. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, very good. Remember, everybody, study your B1.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll get your, come back.
Anyway. Oh, I'm going to leave it there.
Your Thanksgiving dinner. Hey, Mr. Allen. Or maybe someone else has a suggestion. Who do I get in touch with? My water bill's up the roof over at the cottage. Is any idea who has a water
leak or something?
We must have a leak somewhere.
I'll just
have
my water
bills
off of that.
They'll come out and check it, I think, for free.
We'll call them out. That's a great question. Check your meter. The meter's running, then it's leaking.
Yeah, turn everything off. That's how I check. And I actually... And I had a leak. And I had
a
leak.
Is the meter running?
It's not spinning.
It's not spinning.
No,
John, do you still need to get together with us, or do we address the issues? Okay.
Little dial, should be spinning.
That's why, unless you're missing a meter. Is there another meter on the property in the town?
We have 2 meters.
Okay, I signed. Did you get my sign?
There it is. Thank you very much.
Next, all of you.